Recording is on.
Hey, Axelman, sir.
How you doing?
How are you?
Pretty good.
This is the New Hampshire Exit Podcast for January 23rd, 2022. And this is Dave Ridley. I'm joined by Stephen Axelman at the moment, maybe later others. And now that we have more than one person and it's 1 p.m. Eastern time, I'll go ahead and start. I do have some news items to bring you while Stephen is maybe setting up his microphone or whatnot. Let's see. So this is the first episode of our podcast since the January 20th New Hampshire House hearing on independence, our Declaration of Independence constitutional amendment. And the turnout was, I guess, about 75 supporters showed up, which is unusually high for New Hampshire. During the testimony, supporters outnumbered opponents of independence 5-1. So there are about 25 people speaking in favor of independence, about 5 people speaking against. However, the committee came back and voted the next day unanimously against the amendment, partly in fear. They were sort of intimidated a little bit, maybe threatened, depending on how you take it, by some of the testimony and the statements made by other state reps that they could be removed from office for voting for this, or worse, perhaps. I will just go ahead and read some of my reports that I wrote on the 20th and the 21st. And posted to Shire Society forums. Quote, Chris Wade of Keene estimates turnout at 80 people for the hearing, not including the committee itself, nearly all supporting the independence legislation. Standing room only. Hearing went on for 3 hours, and they considered moving it to the big auditorium reps hall thingy. Someone else estimates there were just 4 people speaking against the bill, against the people's right to vote on independence. Committee Chair Al Baldessaro did a pretty charming job moderating the meeting, but perhaps wasn't entirely fair to our faction. During testimony, one pro-DC politician got over 20 minutes because Baldessaro had asked him to research constitutionality. But Baldessaro scolded members of the public for going over 5 minutes. From listening to the whole hearing, it looks like about 5 people spoke against the legislation, about 25 spoke in favor. All but one of the opponents were state reps and were allowed to go first. Baldessaro himself announced during the hearing that he is on the fence. Committee Clerk Susan DeLamas gave an almost fiery speech at the end of the hearing, which is a little hard to hear, but it was lavishing praise on the independence crowd and reminding the world of the suffering which DC has inflicted on her political prisoner husband related to his presence at the Bundy standoff. Got me now, Peter?
Hello.
Hey, I didn't mean to talk over all those actual people. I'm just reading my posts. To fill the gap. What else you guys got going on?
Hi, do I know Lisa?
Hello, I don't think so.
Not my loss.
Hi, Lisa. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Alu's dad. Who are you?
Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay. Yeah. If no one else has anything to add, I'll continue reading, but I did want to give space for you guys because all I'm doing is reading my forum posts on this.
Okay. Well, I went to the I went to the public hearing on Thursday. So that was it was informative. It was interesting. It was good.
I don't know if we've met, Lisa. You want to?
I saw you there.
Yeah. Oh, fair enough. Do you want to introduce yourself to everybody?
Chris, can you speak closer to the microphone or something? Or louder? I don't know.
I can increase the volume of the microphone, probably.
What an excessively polite crowd. No one wants to talk over anyone.
How's that? Got any better?
Yeah, thanks.
Okay.
Yeah, well, we moved here to New Hampshire last year. And, yeah, I've just been meeting people, attending some events. And, yeah, I heard that we moved here from Texas. And down in Texas, there are a lot of people who are mentioning things like, we should secede from the Union because, you know, it's Texas and they're very proud of their state. And so I moved up here and I heard people were talking about that for here as well. And I thought, oh, okay, yeah. But then about 3 days before the town hall, I found out about that bill that wants, you know, the CACR32. And so I was surprised. I was like, oh, people are actually taking it seriously up here. So yeah, I found out about the public hearing a couple days before it happened. Yeah, so we went and it was good.
Lisa, how familiar are you with Texas?
Thank you for your service, Lisa.
What was your question?
How familiar are you?
Did I have one?
I asked a question.
I guess I was just asking you people if they had anything they wanted to say.
Uh-huh.
Can I be heard?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, I don't know if Dave is hearing me.
Oh, Dave, do you hear Steve?
I do not hear Steve.
Oh, okay.
That's weird. There's always something weird with Jitsi. It usually works, but it's never firing on all six cylinders.
Well, since I'm related to Alu, assume I'm always talking.
Okay, that's where he gets it from.
Well, yeah, he outdoes me.
Sorry, Steven. I hope that this is at least recording you, even though I can't hear you.
Well, I don't care about that part. How familiar are you with Texas, Lisa?
Okay, so Steve asked, how familiar am I with Texas?
Texas.
Not too familiar with it. We lived there for 3 years, and I grew up in California. And so I figured, you know, if any state is going to secede from the Union, it's going to be Texas, because they have a lot of their own resources. They've got a huge population. They have a pretty active National Guard or no, state militia, whatever the heck it is. Yeah. So they're in a pretty good position to be independent if they chose to. And they have a lot of state pride. And it's the only state I've ever seen where they proudly fly the state flag in their front yard.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Dave, I'm pretty sure Dave and I...
Yeah, I think the Texas nationalist movement was probably one or two steps ahead of us up until really the last few months. Mm-hmm. They had actually found a state rep who would sponsor it, which was further than any other state had gotten in 160 years, mm-hmm. I guess. But the state rep sponsored it, and it was not allowed to be heard in committee. So they stopped it before committee. Even though Biederman stuck with it all the way, he doesn't have the power by himself to make a bill be heard in front of committee. So So yeah, when we came here and had a state rep sponsor it, then we were tied with Texas, and then we had. Then we had a total of 7 state reps sponsoring it, which might have taken us a little ahead of Texas. And then when it got to the committee and got heard, that put us a full step in front of Texas. And it's supposed to go in front of the whole House. And as long as nothing interrupts that, we'll be 2 steps in front of Texas, which puts us 2 steps in front of any other independence movement in the nation.
Mm-hmm. Isn't California, I heard that California also has one, but it's not for liberty reasons. They're far more socialist about it.
Yeah.
But is that an active thing too?
Lisa.
Yes.
And their leader, Marcus Evans, is a sometime guest on this podcast. He was here last week. And yeah, they're serious and they've gotten quite a bit of progress. I would rate them as being third in the nation right now on the road to independence. They have, they're trying to use the ballot and referendum petition gathering type process.
Okay.
So CalExit is kind of reorganizing right now as of a week.
They've done the best of the three movements. They're the ones that's done the best on getting publicity. They're all over the news. And they were approved by the Secretary of State a year or two ago to gather petitions for one of the last elections. Now they're doing that again. They're going through that process again. They've probably been reapproved, and I would guess they're probably in the petition gathering phase. But the Texas nationalists are very deep into the petition gathering phase right now. And they're all kind of, hey, everybody, you got to get a move on. We got to reach this number of signatures. But they're doing a serious petition drive, and they might reach the number of petitions that they need. And then they could probably be on the ballot.
Okay. I have an idea. So Steve, he wants to talk, but Dave, since you can't hear him, Steve, what if you show your camera so that, because if Dave can at least see that you're talking, maybe we can.
Right.
Maybe we can relay what it is you're saying. Hello.
That's fine, just because my office is a mess.
Oh, Dave, can you see Steve's camera? Can you see him?
I do see him, and I see his lips moving.
Okay.
Too bad I'm not deaf.
So you know I'm not talking the truth. So, first of all, as of next Sunday, I will probably be vice president of CalExit. Even though I live in New York, CalExit is kind of...
Oh, Steve, now I can't hear you.
Yeah, same here.
Can you hear me now?
I was trying to unmute. I was trying to unmute Steve, and I must have accidentally muted him.
Okay.
So I'm unmuting him again.
No, now he looks muted for me.
Oh, brother! Sorry.
Muted again. Steve, no.
So do you want to pass on what he said, or?
Can I talk now? Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
I can hear you.
Wait,
Dave, can you
hear me?
I still don't hear him.
No, okay. So, yeah, I'll relay what you say, Steve.
So what I was saying is, as of a week from now, I'll probably be vice president of CalExit. I've been a member of what they call their CalExit Congress for a little over a year. They're reorganizing somewhat because they had a big internal problem. And I think once the Republicans take back over in 2022, I think it's going to blossom very, very strongly again. Even though, yes, they are very socialist now. They believe Biden is at least as bad, if not worse, than Trump. But we've been working together for several years, encouraging them to please leave. And their head has always believed conservatives wouldn't let California go. And our purpose is showing him we would love for you to go.
Interesting.
And we're trying through my website, Americans United for Peaceful Separation. We've been trying to get the three movements to work as much as possible together. So if you're familiar with Porkfest, all three movements appeared together on the stage, which was kind of historic. And I believe at the Liberty Forum, which is upcoming in March, we're going to try and have all three movements appear together again. Because I think I have a lot of thoughts and comments on what happened Thursday. But among them is, would the movement have more gravitas if when people said, we don't want to be the laughingstock, they would have said, well, guess what? We're one of three states, two of which are much more strong than we are. And this is not just a one-off wacko movement of libertarian nutcases.
Because that is a concern, you know, because if you said you're going to be the vice president of CalExit.
Can you tell us what Steve said in case he doesn't reach the podcast?
Yeah, so... So, Steve, you're going to be the vice president of CalExit next year?
Next week.
The next week. Okay. And you live in New York.
Yeah.
And you said at Liberty Forum, you're going to have, was it representatives from all three, from New Hampshire, from Nexit, Texit, and CalExit?
So the hope is to reproduce what happened at Porkfest, where all the movements were together on stage.
Okay. So Porkfest, all the movements were together on stage. Was that last year?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, that was last year.
Right. There's a video of that. Dave's very familiar with that. And okay. We're trying to reproduce that in March.
Okay. So they're trying to reproduce that Porkfest event in March, where you have all three represented in the same place, so that you so you don't have just people thinking it's one wacko state with just a bunch of like fringe libertarians. It's like, no, we've got Texas, we've got California here too. This is serious.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, the media is like, well, this is crazy. Let's do mm-hmm. another article on national divorce.
Right.
Right. Lisa, how much would you charge to be
someone else was saying that there is like, I have to look up the exact quote here. It's going to take a second for me to find it, but it's hilarious.
Okay. Steve, what were you saying? Just in the meantime, Dave, what were you saying, yeah, Steve?
I said, how much would you charge to be my Kayleigh McEnany?
I don't know who that is.
That was Trump's speaker. She was fantastic.
Oh, I don't know.
You did a great job.
Oh, thanks. I know it's difficult when you've got technical issues. I heard all you guys fine last week. I tried to join last week, but my microphone couldn't work. And so I figured it out after the call. It was a setting on my browser. But I tried to join last week. But I heard you guys talk about stuff, and it was interesting.
So, yeah, I'm curious. Other thoughts on what happened on Thursday, if people want to share.
Yeah, I thought it went great. I mean, we had almost 100 people there. Mm-hmm. It would have been nice if we had gotten to 150, but I was really expecting the conservatives, you know, to be out in mass compared to us and most of us anyway. And it was the libertarian contingent that came out. So mm-hmm. numbers I didn't even know we could do.
Yeah, word got out somehow. That's great.
You're seeing conservatives as those anti-secession.
No, as pro-secession, because we were talking to conservative leaders of conservative groups, and they were supposed to rally their troops. They said they were going to rally their troops, and then they didn't. I mean, we had some mm-hmm. of the conservative leadership come out, but none of their troops came out. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm. So I guess I'm confused, because I wonder if definition, conservatives would be against secession because they're law and order folks.
But there's supposed to be small government. I mean, how do you shrink government if you don't divorce yourself from D.C.?
You vote in better people next time.
Yeah, you vote
yeah, in that's really worked.
Well, because I was a conservative for most of my life, and I would have been against secession until mm-hmm. I moved towards libertarian. That's why I'm asking that.
When did you move towards libertarian? I guess, yeah, how long have you been libertarian as opposed to Republican or conservative?
I'm much more libertarian. I'm not as anarchist as some of the people in my family. Uh-huh. But I've been a strong supporter of secession for probably about 8 years.
Okay, strong supporter of secession for about 8 years, Dave.
Obama's second election when I realized we're not changing this country ever.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
Obama didn't help.
You know what's funny about that is if you believe the leftist propaganda, it's all the right-wing conservative nut jobs that want to secede.
Well, in Texas, that would kind of apply because a lot of them are very right-wing, but they are talking about secession.
But that's what
it's the Democrats who are like, no.
That's Texas pride, and
it is Texas
they were
pride,
a
yeah.
country by themselves. So it's different, but. You know, you had several people at the hearing talk about, you know, is this what our soldiers fought and died for? And those mm-hmm. are the type of conservatives, the way my dad was, who was military, who would shoot me if I was for secession. So that's why I kind of, mm-hmm. I associate those with the anti-secessionists.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a lot of talk about state or like national pride, or someone at the hearing mentioned that this felt almost un-American.
Yeah, somebody said those exact words, to which I'm writing up an article now. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with it. My comments on the meeting, I just quote the Declaration of Independence, which they don't believe in.
Well, you know, we did have some conservatives there that were speaking in favor of. So it's not like they don't exist. It's just we didn't have them rallying their troops. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It definitely... I've been speaking pro-secession in conservative groups, not that I'm a conservative, but, and, you know, there was one or two people that said, you know, they were against it, but everybody else either remained silent or was for it. So, I don't know. There was a lot of silence, too.
I'm just saying how I associate them. Also, a New Hampshire conservative may be very different than conservatives in other
states.
Yes.
It's true. The conservatives in New Hampshire are, and for that matter, the Democrats are very different. They're not. I mean, we've got Democrats that own guns. I mean, it's
These are not California Democrats. They're not on the deep end.
yeah. New Hampshire is very different. I'll give you that. But again, like that's why I'm like I was kind of, you know, I don't know. Like I mean, the conservatives have been for the past, I don't know. Well, maybe a year or two, they've been rallying their troops and they've really been coming out and doing events and protests and all sorts of things that I didn't even know conservatives were capable of doing. And they were doing it. So I figured they'd be out in force and, you know, we'd be in the minority in that group and we weren't. And I was really kind of surprised. And I was really surprised at how many libertarians we were able to get out there. So,
Yeah, sometimes getting libertarians together is like herding cats.
It really can be.
It may mean that we have a lot of room to grow because at some point those conservatives will get pushed far enough that they'll be seeing this as a viable solution.
Mm. Well, you know, Edwards with his comment about.
Well, I hope not. I hope not.
You know, Jessica kept saying we're not there yet.
Yeah. Dave, did you find that thing that you were looking up?
Jeff NH at Reardon Steele on Twitter writes, quote, all this bill does is let people vote, and an account titled Voting Rights opposes it.
That's funny.
But mostly, most of the traffic has been... You know, I shouldn't judge the traffic. The traffic has been mixed, you know, in terms of people are supporting it and opposing it. But I like to say what's happening right now is the authoritarians are just, they're crapping pyramids over this.
Yeah.
Sorry to say it that way in mixed company.
It's fine.
Question, was it unusual that they voted right after the hearing? Because I was led to believe they usually vote a few weeks later.
Oh, so Dave, the question was he was surprised to see them vote right after the hearing. He's used to seeing them vote a couple weeks later.
Yeah, that's actually unusual to me, too. They did announce it during the hearing that they were going to be voting the next day. And I think they voted on a lot of other things the next day. My understanding, I was taken aback by that. And I did email the committee members, all of them, asking them if that's normal. I guess I should check my email as of yesterday. I hadn't heard back yet.
Mm-hmm. So how did they vote? Cause I thought they were going to vote on Monday.
Yeah, 21-0. We lost, but not
really.
Yeah, but I don't think I don't think this was ever, you know, this was ever going to get a fair shake anyway. It was the where we win is on publicity and getting reps to actually, like 2 years ago, we wouldn't have been able to have gotten this, you know, I want to say on the ballot, not on the ballot, but we wouldn't have been able to have gotten a hearing because there wasn't a rep who would be willing to step up there and propose it. So we're, and now that we have 7 this year, that's, I mean, we're way farther ahead than we have been, you know, previously, but we've also been gaining, power, I guess, in the state house, you know, every year. And we I mean, we went between this election cycle and the last election cycle, we went from 30 state reps that, and this is just, and keep in mind, we have more than this, but this is just people who moved for the Free State Project who got elected, right? We went from 30 to 40. So we have around somewhere between, like, we have almost 100 reps that either are libertarian or they lean libertarian. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty good. We need about 133, a little over 133 to have like control, I think. So we're not there yet. If you go independence, you kind of come off as a nut job. So it's kind of understanding in some respects that some of these people, I think, are voting no on independence, and that people aren't willing to step up. They're mm-hmm. spending the way the reps would phrase it is they're spending their creds, I think, meaning like they're kind of spending their, I don't know if that would mean like reputation exactly, but it's something to that effect, where they're using their, they got a certain number of points to accomplish certain things during their time, and if they spend them, they're not going to be able to get other people on board for other things that they want. So
it's
at a cost.
It's political capital.
Capital. Yeah,
so political capital.
You need to capitalize on the fact that 21 people have publicly declared that the people are too stupid to make their own decision. And it's going to end up with 400 representatives saying, we are not representatives because we are your rulers because you're too stupid to make decisions. And I think getting so many people on record as saying that, we don't trust you to make a decision, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. I think there's, that is true. You know, it does look like the representatives are saying, you're too stupid. This just isn't going to happen.
And by the way,
but
Lisa,
yes,
the proof to that is several representatives said, go get yourself elected, which
several said, go get yourself
you
elected.
Have to say, you need to be cool like we are.
Yeah. That the kind of the only way you have a voice is if you're one of the representatives.
Well, it's kind of humorous because we had a lot of representatives there speaking up, and people who had run for office getting elected. So it was really kind of bizarre. And at the same time, we've been slowly eating away at these people who are against secession and pushing them out and replacing them with people who are pro secession. So it's really kind of funny. Like they seem to be grasping, honestly, like, the way I interpreted everything, they're grasping at straws, the people who are against secession. They're on the losing side, and they're still in power. They still outnumber us, but their numbers are, you know, we're whittling away at their numbers, and you know, before long we actually will have control. Even at the hearing, they were, you know, everybody's admitting now that, you know, both the conservatives and those on the left, the Democrats, they're all in agreement that we're taking over, right? Like they came out and they're in the hearing, they were like, you guys have been influencing I'm trying to think of the words they used exactly, but they basically were saying that, you know, certain things didn't pass because of you guys, and other things did pass because of you guys. And it's like, yeah, you know, it's just a matter of time. We just got to keep working and keep doing what we're doing.
Well, they're always saying, you know, well, you know, run for office. Well, what do you think those people are going to vote in favor of if they run for office? What kind of, you know, constitutional amendments do you think they're going to propose if they run for office? Do you think they're just going to keep hacking at the branches, or they're going to start striking the root as we are doing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this wasn't one guy. This wasn't one rep proposing a crazy amendment. This was seven reps proposing a crazy amendment. So it's, you know, I think that's really telling. Seven reps, not one, seven.
But how many of those seven spoke?
There was sort of this may be a little bit more of a paraphrase than a quote, but it's very close to being a quote. So Brody Deshaies, who was the person who spoke for 27 minutes against us, mm-hmm. he said three things I thought that were interesting. I think he may have said them the next day during the vote. He said the first thing he said was, this is a historic moment. The next thing he said was, or some, at some point after that, he said, this is crazy. And then he said, what was the third thing that he said? This is fascinating. it was even getting to him.
I do feel like they were manipulating us quite a bit. In that some, like, they all voted against it, right? All 21, mm-hmm. the committee people. I don't think the people proposing it weren't on the committee, so they didn't get to vote on it. But of the committee, they all voted against it. But at the same time, they were like trying to suggest. Well, some of them actually, I think, said they were going to vote in favor of it, and then they voted against it. So it's, I think there is some manipulation going on by the reps. But of course, you know, politicians are liars, you know, they're professional liars, right? So it probably shouldn't have been too surprising. But I felt like that what they were doing, except for, was it Dashiell? Is that how you pronounce his name? A douche, something like that. But except for him, like, I actually am kind of surprised that, like, you know, like that, the others, I thought that was interesting. Like I kind of feel like he doesn't understand how this works. He's got to get reelected. So he should have made it sound like, oh, you know, maybe next year, like the other couple of reps did. You know, they lead us on, they make us think, oh, they're in favor of it, but then they vote against it. But if we're not paying attention, we don't know that they voted against it. Therefore, we'll vote for them again, right? And so that's kind of like, they want us to think they're in favor of it, but they're not really in favor of it.
I would like to call everybody on the committee and ask them how many of them agreed with DeShays, because Baldassaro specifically disagreed with him and Chess Edwards specifically disagreed with him.
Yeah, how many disagreed with?
And that should have been the debate that went on rather than it just went on to a committee vote. I don't think most of them agreed with him, and he didn't challenge them on it. He didn't say to Baldassaro, wait a minute, aren't you afraid of treason?
Mm-hmm. So what was your full original question, just for Dave? How many of them voted?
Many of them disagreed?
How many of them disagreed with DeShays?
I don't remember. I've listened to the whole hearing and the whole executive session, and I don't remember any of them really taking DeShays on.
They didn't take him on, but they didn't take him disagreed. On.
But they specifically disagreed.
Right. Baldassaro said right away, I'm kind of on your side, blah, blah, blah. And Jess Edwards said, we're not there yet. They disagreed with it ever being treason.
Oh, yeah. And some of the liberal commentators who were talking on Twitter, they were saying something along the lines, you know, I can't believe that the House was, you know, the House members were so nice to these terrible people. They couldn't. Why were they so tolerant? They shouldn't be so tolerant. So Al Baldassaro, who was chair of the committee, did say that he agreed with the legislation. He agreed with CACR 32, the constitutional amendment to allow a vote on independence. But then he voted against it. So what do you do?
It could be that they like the idea of eventually becoming independent, but they might think that we're not ready yet from a legislative point of view. Like, there aren't enough things in place for this to go forward. Like, they need to look at laws and finances, and it could be that they just think that they, as a legislative body, aren't yet ready.
That's what they said, but I'm having a hard time with that, just because it doesn't. There is obviously you're going to have to propose some laws.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not, when you pass a constitutional amendment, you don't write everything you want to accomplish in that constitutional amendment. It just doesn't work that way. You can't change constitutional amendment. I mean, you can change the constitution, but it takes most of the reps to do so. And so what you need to do is you need to keep it fairly short and simple in the constitution, and then pass laws to adapt it, not to adapt the constitutional amendment itself, but to work with the new the new paradigm, I think is the way to phrase it. Because, you know, ultimately, like, what the trade relations are with, say, the United States, you can't really put that inside the constitutional amendment. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, well, if we require, I don't know, a certain amount of trade and we put it in the constitutional amendment, you know, to occur, and then the United States doesn't agree with it, well, you can't then go and change that. Whereas if it's in law and there's like negotiations, you can change it, you can do what you need. You just can't do that with a constitutional amendment. So it doesn't make sense to put it in a constitutional amendment, which is why every other constitutional amendment is fairly short by, you know, it's a fairly short thing. It's a fairly short.
I think you're giving them way too much credit.
Yes, Steve. We're giving them way too much credit.
And also, I have a question for you, because I listened to this whole thing very carefully. Which vegetable was mentioned the most often during this hearing?
Which vegetable was mentioned the most often in this hearing?
Yeah. Wow.
I don't know.
Oh my God, the carrots. They talked about the
carrots. Oh, yes, the carrots. You're right. Dangling the carrot. Like, we've accepted the carrot, but the stick has to come with it. And so
they kept saying, we're getting money from the feds. We're not going to kick them off. We like this money gravy train coming in.
Yeah.
And that's what I kept hearing. And we're not going to give that up. And most of us want to run for Congress and Senate, which is one of the points my son makes, because I taught him that point. If you have your eyes in national office, you don't care about your state, really. So most of these people are saying, we got our eyes on the big prize. But we like carrots because carrots lets us give money to our buddies. Sometimes they said carrots like 10 times.
Yeah, they did mention carrots a lot. And it's true, if you've got the, if you have the state reps and the state senators who have their eye on DC, if they want to go national, then their priorities are going to be different. They're going to make different decisions.
Which was one of the best reasons for secession, by the way. Which some people said, Sununu's got his eyes on Washington eventually. Everybody in politics wants to be president of the United States. That's pretty much a given. So, but again, they like the carrots, they like the money they can throw around, and they like the control that it gives them.
I think that I was listening to a debate that Alu had with somebody about this. this is from a couple weeks ago. And he made an interesting point. He made a point, it was kind of like what you just said, Steve, how Sununu, I think that was one of the examples, how he, if he's got his eye on DC, he's gonna kind of play it safe as the governor. But if that was no longer an option, if it was no longer an option for our state reps, the senators, or the governor to become national, then they'd do things differently here. You know, maybe, well, Sununu would take a hard stand on stuff.
You know what might be interesting to point out is that running for Senate.
I'm on the Jitsi meeting.
What's well, that? No, I guess maybe not if we're independent. You wouldn't be able to run for.
I'm really doing great. They're quoting you also.
What was that, Steve?
Sorry, Alu just called in. He's on. Sorry about that.
Alu just called in. Okay.
I was going to say, you actually could run for federal government post New Hampshire independence, because you would still have U.S. most of us anyway would still have U.S. citizenship, except for the people born post independence. So you wouldn't be able to run in New Hampshire anymore because New Hampshire wasn't a state, but you could move to Mass or Vermont or some other state and still run.
They're not going to know, because they're never going to piss people off by doing these things. Okay, Sununu's never going to piss off the middle people, the center, if he wants to run for national office.
Yeah, he'll never risk pissing off the middle.
Yeah, some of the, you know, people who were against focusing on independence have said that they would, you know, that they we need, this state government is so corrupt, we need to do this and that about the state government. But my suspicion is that removing the federal government from the equation would probably improve the state government dramatically, partly because of what you're saying, you know, that the state officials stop worrying about whether they can get elected in Washington or not. They stop focusing on that. And then all this dirty money coming in from Washington interfering with our local policies
yeah,
and other things they do to interfere with our local government and state government policies. You know, the state government might have a tendency to want to expand to do some things that the federal government used to do. But mostly, I think this could make the state government better. I mean, is the Estonian government better now or worse than it was under the Soviets? Is the Slovenian government better now or worse than it was under the Yugoslav government?
As terrible as some of these politicians are at the state level, we still at least have way more control over them. And they definitely overall do way better as at least percentage wise. More of them do better than at the federal level, that's for sure.
Actually, in 2000, I'm sorry, go ahead, Stephen.
You represent 3,400 people in New Hampshire and 780,000 as a congressman. Who's going to be more responsive?
Yeah.
In 2007, I guess I put them through the ultimate litmus test where I did identical demonstrations in the IRS office and the DRA office. So those are, you know, New Hampshire's IRS and the federal IRS in New Hampshire. I did the exact same demonstration. It's, you know, very slightly different wording on the, you know, but basically the important thing was it was the same demonstration inside each office, you know, just holding a sign basically and then walking out. And the DRA office in New Hampshire, the director of the DRA came out, shook my hand, answered all my questions. And we kind of almost became friends after that. And the IRS had me arrested.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
That happened.
Wow. Hi, yeah, Olive.
What's up, guys? Who's Lisa?
Also made hay out of the fact that when one of the reps is saying, you know, the federal government doesn't bother us much.
Oh, can you hear Olu, Lisa?
I can hear Olu. Yes.
Yeah, I can't believe Olu said that. Who is Lisa?
I met you at the outside of the legislative building on Thursday.
Sorry, I have no memory.
That's fine.
My memory is crap.
Yeah. You were like going back and forth, bringing stuff to your car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, were you the one with the kids? Yeah. Oh, great. Yeah. I said we're going to talk later, but then you ran away.
No, my husband showed up and it was freezing out there. So we went home.
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah.
So okay. Dave, well, can you hear Olu okay?
I can.
You can. Okay. So Olu, Dave, for some reason, can't hear Steve. So he can hear the rest of us, but he can't hear Steve. So we've been kind of
paraphrase
relaying
whatever he says quickly. Yeah.
Okay. You talk much faster.
Oh, whatever you say, I'll say quickly.
Lisa's already interpreting for him.
Cool.
But Olu, you go ahead. You talk a lot faster than I do.
I don't know. I mean, I have a ton to say, but my dad's here, so I'll try to limit the F words, which mostly limits me to not being able to say anything. So the one thing I was just thinking of just a few minutes ago, I was going to call my dad, is the representatives, like Baldassaro and Moffat and a few others. And after the meeting, when we all jumped all over Al Baldassaro, he kept saying he supports independence, but we don't have a plan, because he was saying, you know, dumb people like, you know, Olu and Ian Freeman and Carla and Chris, you guys don't have a plan. You guys just want to succeed. You don't have any plan for how would we actually have healthcare? How would we have national defense? Because no hospitals would exist, obviously, if we leave, right? Hospitals would disappear. So that's kind of what he thinks. So he said, we have no plan. So what I want to do, I've addressed the plans. Obviously, I've written, you know, books and articles addressing specific systems, how they would function the same but better. And in the testimony, we a lot of us mentioned it. But what I want to do is make a little booklet, and I want your feedback. Like, do pamphleteering, like back in the day. I want to make a booklet, and like with a few pages or a chapter or a section, addressing each of those different issues, different areas. Like, how would we, you know, would we have energy policy, healthcare, defense, you know, all currencies, all that stuff. So I want to know all their issues. So let's all email the legislators, which I just did, and I just spoke to Moffitt a second ago, the vice chair, and I spoke to the chair. So let's get all of their input, even Deshaies, the retard. And let's get all their issues. Deshaies' big thing was constitutionality. He said it's unconstitutional. He said at the hearing we never addressed it. And we used mental gymnastics, both of which are false. We did not use mental gymnastics. He did. And we were very straight up, and we addressed constitutionality. I've done that, you know, in articles and books. So constitutionality, healthcare, energy policy, national defense, and what else? So let's find all the issue areas. I want to do a pamphlet, print it out. I could print stuff on Amazon for like under $3 per book in general, plus shipping, and then hand out, if we can have a few bucks, so even a few of us, a few hundred bucks, hand out, you know, one to every rep. We could do it, you know, if we have a few bucks. So hand out to every rep and or every person who comes to the rallies with questions. If they're serious, if they're Democrat agitators, screw them. They don't want answers. They want to fight. But those who really want answers, and you trust that they're being sincere, let's give them the pamphlet that answers all their questions concretely and with info saying, if you have more questions, email me, go to libertyblock.com, go to nhindependence.org. So what do you guys think of the idea of pamphleteering? And then I have one more question about how to do it. But I already wrote two of them today or yesterday, two of those articles.
I think we're playing into their manipulation. The issue is not that we don't have a plan. We answered their every question that they had. The issue is they don't want to hear it.
Yes, some of them don't want to hear it. Some of them are sincere, or at least pretending to be sincere. Right? Again, I don't know. I don't trust any politicians. But Moffitt just emailed me because I emailed him and he emailed me back a minute ago, and he said I asked him what specific issues he had, and he said, you know, there are issues, you know, energy, currency, healthcare, how it would be if Medicare and people, old people in nursing homes, and he said it's unconstitutional. Then he said, also, check out this article I wrote to Deshaies. And he linked to the letter, you know, Deshaies published his article in New Hampshire Journal. And I'm like, you don't know my rebuttal? You didn't read my rebuttal to this? That I'm sure got more views, and that destroys the hell out of his letter. It picks apart every single section, and it says why it's retarded and totally refutes it. And he didn't read it, so I emailed him that, and I'm like, yeah, you know, I thought I would have assumed you've seen my rebuttal to his letter because I published it. It's been seen, I think, a few thousand times. So I emailed him that. But again, he's like so uninformed. He thinks Brody Deshaies, you know, didn't have, you know, he thinks the constitutional issue that Brody Deshaies had is what stands, is still standing, like wasn't refuted by anyone. And I'm like, oh my God, just because he's spoken to 200 billion constitutional experts and he's smarter than everyone else in the room, you know, doesn't mean that people haven't refuted his arguments. So yeah, so I wrote the one on constitutionality. On healthcare, I think I'm working on the one on currency and a few others. And if anyone here is an expert in other areas, let's put it all into a book. And my question is that pamphlet to give out to those who are sincere, especially some state reps, because Michael Moffitt said a few of the reps on the committee wanted to vote yes, but there wasn't enough of a plan, so they voted no. I don't know if that's the truth. I think that the truth is that Brody Deshaies threatened them with treason. So my final.
I kind of agree that most of them really don't care, unfortunately. I think most of them are full of it. And that it's a waste of time, except for maybe a few of the decent people. That's my favorite. I think that's just something to say, because no one's talking about seceding overnight and changing everything overnight. That's ridiculous. Like somebody mentioned, New Hampshire was rebelling for 7 years. Now I look back in the history books and the whole entire state did not die in those 7 years. Some of them woke up every morning and went to sleep every night and did other things like that. I think most of that is just a way of pushing it off.
And again, the public debate thing, it's again, we have plenty of us, myself included, who want to publicly debate. Everyone knows that. And the other side keeps refusing. I think, again, the public, the third party viewer sees that. They see, wait, one side wants to debate, one side doesn't. They see that one side's peaceful and mature and the other side is threatening violence. I think, so forget them. Brody, we're not going to convince him. But when we fight him, it's good because millions of people, 1.3 million, are looking on and they're seeing who's in the right and who's in the wrong, who's violent, who's peaceful.
Hello, I have a question. Where have you put, if anywhere, the Declaration of Independence stamped rescinded? And do people like that idea?
Well, I didn't put it up yet. It's one of the images in the article. Damn, I forgot to put it as an image embedded in the article. I'll add that later to that article. Because
what do people think about that?
Does everyone agree we should have a nice image, a good graphic of a red stamp over the Declaration of Independence saying void?
I don't know.
Because it's clearly secession. Everyone agrees secession is never legitimate. It's always illegal. So therefore, we have to void the Declaration of Independence. Let's void it. And we're all still English.
I think it's interesting because it points out the hypocrisy of it all. I don't know if that'll send the message. Like, I don't know if people will understand that.
But I think it's pretty simple.
I don't. I just don't know if the imagery is going to be understood.
Well, you're still too soft. You're still too quiet.
I hear him. If you put the
can't hear you very well.
Independence was rescinded by Abraham Lincoln. I think most people, especially since next to carrots, the Civil War was probably mentioned the most. If this was settled by the Civil War, meaning Abe Lincoln crushed the Declaration of Independence. One of the reasons I refuse to listen to Mark Levin for years is he talks the talk, but he clearly doesn't believe in the Declaration of Independence because he believes Lincoln settled it. So we just want to put the Declaration of Independence rescinded by Abe Lincoln. You can't believe in that and believe secession is illegal. It just doesn't work.
So, Oliver, will you summarize that for Dave?
the Declaration was, the Declaration of Independence was repealed, made totally void by Abraham Lincoln, saying secession is always illegal. And again, by the committee the other day, saying secession is always, by default, illegal. Although, at the same time, they said, if we get a lot of emails from supporters, support it. So, again, there was so much hypocrisy there. They spoke out of both sides of their mouths. It was unbelievable.
Alu, you look like you're at a rave. Are you driving?
Yeah. Unfortunately, we're in the Boston Tunnel. Not quite a rave. Yeah, it's a bit less fun. So what do you guys think of that idea? And I was thinking it could be done either me, Liberty Block, could be done me as an author. It could be done from the Foundation for New Hampshire Independence 501c3, because it's educational and the pamphlet is not really going to mention specific bills or legislators. It'll just talk about how great independence is in the general sense, which I think is probably okay. And if it's done by the FNHI, it's all tax deductible because it's nonprofit, meaning if people wanted to donate $1,000 to the FNHI to print, 300 or whatever, then they could, deduct $1,000 from their taxes. So what do you guys think of that idea of doing it like the Foundation for Independence publishing these pamphlets?
I like the idea of a pamphlet. Just something that's very plain, very simple, bullet points. Because of course there are a lot of details that go into this, but just for simplicity's sake, you could take each and every one's concerns and just say, here's our solution. Or if we don't have one, then say, that's something we can discuss later. That's something we can work out. But just so you can see on, one sheet of paper, front and back, perhaps, you can see that we have given this a lot of thought. We have considered all of these people's concerns, and here's our solutions.
Awesome. Any other big objections to it?
You guys?
I can't think of any. Go ahead, Steven.
About 8 years ago, I had to set up a 501c3 for my current place of employment. And it's an insane amount of paperwork, but to make a long story short, the federal government sent back the paper to us and said, you're showing an operating deficit. How do you expect to function? And what I wanted to write was, I guess the same way you guys do. So when these state legislators are asking, how are you going to do this? We don't have the money for it.
What's the status quo right now?
Well, wait a minute. We're $200 trillion in debt as a country. What are we exactly comparing this to?
And I mentioned that to Al, actually. I mentioned to a lot of people, I believe. I said, you're comparing independent New Hampshire to paradise. Why not? Let's compare it to 2022 United States. Let's compare it to the status quo. Is it better or worse? It's not better than paradise, but it's better than the status quo by a lot.
Well, we could just borrow a couple $1 trillion like everybody else does.
Yep. Tell them. Yeah, exactly. Next time someone asks a question, say, we can solve everything. We'll borrow $5 trillion from China. And that shuts them up. If they say we shouldn't borrow, well, your precious government in D.C. shouldn't borrow. It's a great idea. Good point. So as for the pamphlets, do you think a better idea is to do one pamphlet with, addressing 10 issues and a few pages for each? Or should we do one pamphlet for each issue?
I think you should keep it short. People don't read. If you could keep it to a card, honestly, that's probably best. I know it's really
short. You're like, that's impossible.
Brevity is not my strong suit. I'll just say that.
I know, but if you make it any longer than a card, I mean, people aren't even going to read the whole card, so keep it short.
It's true. Unfortunately, I think it would have to be longer because there are so many. I'd say maybe the top 15 issues.
A two-sided card. Question, answer. One sentence.
So we can do that. We have flyers. The flyer doesn't address much. It just says go to the site. But the FNHI flyers are pretty nice. I like them. We can make a second set of flyers that address some issues if you really, Chris, wants to keep it to a tiny card, which I agree. I understand ADD. Nobody reads anything. I gave my book a signed copy to Al Baldessaro, Michael Moffat, and a few others weeks ago or months ago. They clearly didn't even open it. Nobody reads. I know people don't read. They're busy, but also people don't read. So I agree with people not reading and having ADD and all that stuff. So I think we should do some palm cards as well. But I can write a pamphlet. I can't write a card. I have to write long. I suck at writing short. Obviously, if you want help with input with doing a card for that, that's fine. Would anyone here help with a pamphlet? Because I've already written two or three or four of the articles. I can write, I think, most of them. But I'm not an expert in every single policy area, like energy policy and maybe military conflict stuff. So everyone here and all the others listening and the groups are willing to help me do a bit of the writing for the pamphlets.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just need to be able to see copies of the proposed version.
I'll share everything. I'll share everything with everyone.
You can email it to me or something like that, and I can give you feedback. You know, one thing that keeps coming to mind. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Chris.
Sorry, I was just saying. Why don't you post it in like NHExit group, and then we can just go through and like tweak it, like each of us.
I think I posted it a few days ago, but I'll post everything again.
Oh, I must have missed it. I didn't see it.
Well, I'll post the whole folder again.
If it's in Telegram, it's easy to miss. But if it's also in Shire forums, then it tends to kind of have a longer shelf life.
I'll share it again right now on the Shire forums, really, to be honest.
In either case, one thing that does pop to my mind is that the weak link in our chain is almost always going to be the number of people who hear our message, mm-hmm. not the quality of our message.
Yeah, because those state reps, they didn't even know, Alu, that you had replied to Deshaies' constitutional thing. They didn't even know.
Yep. Pretty sad.
I'd be willing to help with the pamphlet. I, too, have a problem with keeping things short. But I'm pretty good at copy editing and proofreading, so I can help shorten things down if it's someone else's writing.
Okay, yeah, perfect.
But I don't have any expertise in like the economy or politics or anything. But I do have some ideas that I thought of, like here's some pros, but here's some cons of secession. So I'd be willing to add to it.
All the input's good. I need all the input from everyone. We need.
The weak link that I'm thinking may need to be filled quickest right now is the contacting the whole house or as many reps as possible, or at least your own rep, mm-hmm. because that vote may be coming up as early as Thursday. And I think the thing that I need to send them is some kind of convincing argument that this is constitutional. I can write something up myself, but I will leave gaps and holes. It would just be better if there were some link that already existed that really makes this case better than I can. And I've put out a request for such a link.
Mm-hmm. Or perhaps not that it's constitutional, but at the very least that it's not unconstitutional.
Where are Jason Sorens and Tom Woods? They've written books about secession. Why aren't they helping us?
Who?
Tom Woods, Jason Sorens, Jeff Beast, Bob Murphy.
I think Jason may have changed his mind, but yeah, Tom wants to talk about national policy all the time. He wants to talk forever about the mountain that he can't move, but he hardly ever talks about us.
Tom Woods is one of the loudest secessionists in the world.
Yeah. Well, he'll eventually, you know, we just got to keep moving forward, and eventually the crowd will catch up with us.
Yeah, well, all right. Well, so forget them then. I was thinking maybe some of their books address it. I don't know. But I've written articles and books. Obviously, I wrote an article of rebuttal to Brody's letter. I think it addresses a bunch of the constitutional issues he poses. But again, he's retarded. He literally thinks the 10th Amendment is the exact opposite of what it is. He thinks all powers not mentioned are powers the federal government has and freedoms we don't have. So we can't address the constitutional issue because he doesn't need a constitutional issue solved. He needs a lobotomy.
I have a question. Why don't we go back into the archives? I'll be willing to fly to London to find it. The original constitutional analysis of the colonies leaving, and then we'll just put it into modern American language.
Yep.
Oh, interesting.
They kept saying it's illegal. That's why I said if it really is illegal, you know, I'll be like Washington and Jefferson. I'll be a traitor, and I'll go down in history as being a hero. You know, yeah, well, it's illegal. It is what it is.
We're supposed to be winning our enemies over as best as we can, not suggesting surgical procedures to be performed on them.
Well, I'm not suggesting surgical procedures. Yeah. I'm suggesting we're going to do exactly what they did.
I said he would need lobotomy to have a functioning brain.
Right, but what Steve was saying.
Does James have a transcript of the Supreme Court case in England in 1776? We could study that.
Oh, yeah, Dave. My dad was saying that let's go back to England and see the British government's constitutional analysis of secession in 1776, and I'm sure they said it was illegal. All secessions are illegal, actually, by definition. Breaking away unlawfully from the larger government is by definition illegal according to the larger government. So all of the 100 secessions over the last 100 years have all been illegal. So that's fine.
Now listen,
by passing the law,
You know, it's kind of funny though to say that, only because it's you can have a government in theory spin off a territory into its own country in theory, at least. And the U.S. Supreme Court even didn't say that it would be illegal. They said, like, for the Civil War, they said something like it would be the way you went about it was incorrect. You need our permission to leave, not.
Yeah.
Sorry to correct you. I listened very carefully to DeShays. He said the United States Constitution does not have the power to spin off a state. Now, he's totally wrong because of what you said, but he specifically said the United States Constitution
cannot spin off a state. I mean, the Supreme Court disagrees with him on that, so.
He knows better. You're right. You're 100% correct.
But DeShays has spoken to 200 constitutional scholars.
Right? Yeah, that's right. And I don't know.
Yeah, it's funny how he. I'm sorry.
He specifically said the United States Constitution does not have this power.
Okay, so DeShays said that the United States Constitution does not have the power to spin off a state. So, Dave, that's what Steve just said.
Give the federal government the power to let states go, is what he said.
Right.
Yeah, he kept paraphrasing, and of course, our side, I'm afraid, did the same thing. But what we needed was quotes from the Constitution, and you know, he did in his article. He does quote, I think, Section 14, which I don't have in front of me.
Article 14.
But we can always quote. Section, I'm sorry. 3, go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead, Stephen. Never mind. Go ahead, Stephen.
Article 14, Section 3. Section 3,
which causes this nexus. Guys, I have to be in California in 1 minute, and I have to teleport. So.
Okay.
It's awesome to talk to
you guys, you know,
in California. Where does this get published so I can watch the end of it?
Dave, where does this get published so that Steve can watch the end of it? He has to leave in about a minute.
RidleyReport.com. And, you know, anyway, I was going to say it remains the 10th Amendment's race to lose, which says the power is not delegated. I think this is an exact quote. The power is not delegated to the United States by the Constitution or denied by it to the states or reserved to the states respectively or to the people, unquote. So, you know, I mean, he's got his Section 14, which is all about removing people from office or something like that. But that doesn't talk about removing states.
Yeah. Anyway, I'll see you guys. I'll be in California. See you next week.
See you later. Dave, do you understand what Brody is saying? The 10th Amendment says, he says, since the Constitution does not give the federal government the power to allow secession, secession is illegal. So he's saying the federal government has all the powers not given to it in the Constitution. And if it's not mentioned at all, then the federal government has that power and we don't have that freedom. So it's literally, he believes the 10th Amendment is the opposite of what it is.
And that's the beauty of the Constitution, if there is any beauty, is that any idiot can read it and understand it. You have to be willfully trying not to understand it, to not understand what the 10th Amendment said, in handing these powers over to the states.
Yeah, you know, it's actually interesting that we should be talking about this because there was a, you know, during that time period, the Civil War time period, especially just post, I believe, there was actually, the government didn't actually, nor the North did not actually follow the Constitution. They actually violated the Constitution and they kind of rebelled themselves in the process, which kind of, you know, if you're going to make the argument that it's illegal, you also kind of have to point out we don't really have the government that was instituted originally, you know, with the U.S. Constitution anyway. So they kind of modified it by overthrowing it. And so that doesn't, it's almost like we still follow it, but not, at least it wasn't followed at the time. So.
Yeah, I like what the Texas Nationalists said on one of their web pages. They said, what did the Civil War prove? It proved that a president actually can, by acting unlawfully, kill 750,000 people.
I think that's one of Brody DeShays' main concerns. It's perhaps not so much the constitutionality of it, but what could the U.S. do to New Hampshire if they didn't like it? Like, could they occupy? Could they place embargoes? Like, what would they do to us? Kind of as punishment.
Yeah. He said they would embargo us and or kill us, and he was encouraging them to do it.
What could Moscow do to Estonia? What could Belgrade do to Slovenia? What could Spain do to Catalonia?
Yeah. What could China do to Taiwan?
I mean, they can. There's probably two approaches they can take. One is they can come in and arrest people, and they probably would. Mm-hmm. But if they were to come in and it actually like have troops stationed here, it would improve our economy for the time in which they stayed. Right. And
someone did mention that, like, oh, it would improve the economy. okay, that was you.
But the other thing is, Catalonia, I believe, in Spain, they recently tried to leave, and they came in, and Spain arrested the leadership, basically. I mean, that seems like that's the worst case scenario. I can't conceive of anything else because nobody's proposing war. Nobody's proposing, starting a militia to fight the United States in New Hampshire. If we were, then maybe we could talk about people dying. But
my brother does believe that they would actually send a military on a hot war and actually kill us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we should not be rosy. That is the worst case scenario. Actually, the worst case scenario is that we never attain our independence and we're still in the United States when a nuclear war starts.
Yeah, I don't know. I have a hard time following the logic that people think that, like, this is a declaration of war. There's nothing here that says this is a declaration of war. And mm-hmm. any war, if it's going to be a war, it's going to be declared by the United States against independent New Hampshire. And
no,
nobody's going to come in, and nobody's going to. I mean, unless people are saying they're willing to fight back, which I haven't heard anybody say they're willing to fight back. There ain't going to be much of a war.
Well, yeah, we have to be willing to not. We have to be willing to not fight back. We have to do like those lunch counter demonstrators in the South, who practiced being beaten up. They would beat each other up to practice and get used to it. Hmm. You know, that's how we have. That's the game we have to play, and we have to maintain nonviolent discipline.
Yeah. I don't think that'll be hard, though. I think it's more, communicating what the plans are to other people who are not us. That is more the complicated part. I don't think people understand that, independence doesn't necessarily mean war. I think people attribute independence with war and in the Civil War, especially, but just war in general. And that's not necessarily the case. There's a lot of independence movements that have, occurred mostly peacefully, where there was maybe only one person who died or something like that.
Does anyone have any suggestions on things that need to be done soon, over the next week or two? What's time sensitive right now?
I mean, we could write reps and things before the 400, the 400 people.
Email and call the reps and LTEs if there's time. Which there may be, depending on the votes in a few weeks. So I think a lot of those are good. Talk to friends and have friends email and call the reps and wake people up. Call radio shows, which Dave does more than the rest of us, I think.
Yeah.
Mm. And for me, help with articles. I'm always writing a lot of articles and books, so all the help I can get. Mm-hmm. And also work on the NHLA, because the NHLA board currently is not supporting independence, really, I don't think. We can work on all that.
What does this stand for? New Hampshire what?
Liberty Alliance.
Liberty Alliance, okay.
We're good about producing content, I feel like, but we're not good about getting it out there.
Distributing it?
Like, we got some opinion pieces out there, I think, but a lot of it is, like, getting the message out there is really, really hard. We don't control any of the major media outlets in New Hampshire, and anything that gets published is mostly against us. So,
mm-hmm. LTE, we submit them, a location to publish them.
Yeah, if you have trouble,
and Liberty Block is technically. The Liberty Block is technically the. Largest traffic site besides WMUR and Granite Rock. Mm-hmm. So use Liberty Blog, use Granite Rock. Any Liberty article, Granite Rock will probably publish as well, to be honest. And they have substantially more traffic and readership and everything than we do. They have like 15 full-time daily writers, whereas we have mostly just me. So use Liberty Blog and Granite Rock. So of the top three, two out of three are Liberty publications. And mine, obviously, Liberty Block is voluntarist and secessionist. But Granite Rock will publish like any pro-liberty article, I think. Ian Underwood's been writing for them for years. So use those, and you know, let's keep doing videos and podcasts and all that stuff and all the platforms.
I still like your idea of a of like a pamphlet or something, because there's a lot of information online, but you kind of have to know where to look for it. And a lot of people just flat out don't want to put in the effort. But if it's something that shows up in their mailbox, they're at least going to see it, even if it just goes straight in the garbage.
100%. I think in marketing, the term is friction. How much friction, meaning how much resistance there is between a customer, you know, starting the funnel, the path, and ending with doing what you want, which is, you know, buying your product or reading your content in this case. And I've tried, I've done every single step, like putting the book for free into the faces of people and still didn't read it.
It's because it's not a
read
postcard.
Read it to them or, you know, I mean, I can't read it to them out loud or force their eyes open, you know, I can't do that. So I've done kind of all I can. It's very hard to get the product to them. It takes, you know, time and money and investment and strategy and everything, but also how to get them to actually literally read it. Yes, I agree with Chris. Obviously, the smaller it is, if it's a postcard, they're more likely to read it than my long books, 100%, obviously. But, so that's something that I'm not a marketing expert. But if we can bring in marketing people who understand how to do everything they can to reduce friction, like instead of me writing an article saying, go look for your rep's emails and email them, if we can make a one-click thing that, like, NRA has and stuff for GOA, a one-click or two clicks where it automatically finds your reps and emails them for you, a certain pre-made email, that's something that reduces friction a lot. So it reduces a lot of those steps. So that's something we should focus on too.
That's the number one thing you can do. I wrote up a post for Free Keen, and I had to email reps, but I also included it, like, the core part of it, how to do it, within the like message that I was sending to other like Telegram groups and things like that, and Matrix and things, because I'm like, people aren't going to click the link, so let's include the core thing right there. If they know it's just four or five steps, and the link is directly to the place where they need to submit their comments, they're more likely to do it.
Dave, you said you had to go. Did he already leave? He just sent a message. I've got to go, but we'll continue the recording and probably listen to the rest later. Thanks for being here and for all you guys are doing.
I got to get going too myself, actually.
Okay.
I think I said everything I got to say.
All right, Lisa, you got my number or email or something?
Yeah. We're friends on Facebook.
Okay. Also, all right. So yeah, let's get in touch. I shared in this group and a bunch of other groups the link to the folder and all the docs. So we'll talk later.
Okay.
Awesome. All right. Thanks a lot, Chris.
Yeah, it's nice talking to you guys.
Thanks.
Have a good one.